Patrick Heron, how are things in Ireland today?
Jerry, how are you? Things are very, very well here. It was a nice, mild day today. A little bit of rain, but everything is lovely and green and verdant. And it's getting quite autumnal now. You can notice the difference in the evening.
Yeah, it's the same way here in the States, in the middle of America. The evenings and the mornings are a little frosty.
Well, it's not quite frosty here. It's been getting warmer and warmer. We just had probably the best summer I ever remember on record. Absolutely beautiful from June on. And unfortunately, they had the Ryder Cup. I don't know if you're aware of that here, just last weekend in Ireland between the United States and Europe. And Europe just beat America again for the fifth time in sixth Ryder Cup. So Tiger Woods and those guys weren't too pleased about that, but it was a great event. But they happened to pick the one weekend in the last 4 or 5 months where Hurricane Gordon decided to spill the last of his rains on top of us. But it was still a very good event.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we visited before about your book. You've made this into a DVD, huh?
Yes, Jerry, and I hope you're well. I think it's over a year since I spoke to you last, so I hope everything is very well with you and all your family. And we had a good old ding-dong battle back then. In fact, a guy contacted me a few weeks ago, and he said he listened to that interview on the Internet, and he said it was really good.
we had a little fun, we had some ideas that we put out, both sides, and I thought it was a good show.
Oh, that's what it's all about, Jerry, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. Well, since last year, my book, which is The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, and it's all about the fallen angels of Genesis 6 and the Great Pyramid of Giza, and who built the Giza, and who built the Great Pyramid, and why did they build it, etc. Actually, the book has done very well, Jerry. It was number one in the prophecy section of Amazon Books for a whole year and a half. And now one of the top 10 publishers in the States has bought the rights from me, and they will have it in the shops a couple of weeks before Christmas. In fact, my editor, it's Kensington Publishing in New York, he sent me an email a couple of weeks ago, and he said that Barnes & Noble had just increased our order from 500 copies to 5,000.
So tenfold, that's not bad.
It's doing very, very well. And as you say, Grizzly Adams Productions, I'm sure a lot of your folks will know who Grizzly Adams is. And the man that owns Grizzly Adams, he's a Hollywood... Well, he was a Hollywood producer and director for 20 years. But for the last almost 30 years now, he's been making these TV specials, sort of family-based TV specials. And they got him touch with me just over a year ago and said they were interested in making a book on the apocalypse and on the end times. Their customers had got in touch with them, the networks, Pax TV, for instance. They're now called the iNetwork. But they got in touch and they wanted them to do a show on the apocalypse and the end times. And Chuck Sellier is his name. He said, okay, he agreed to do it. But he didn't know what to do. And next thing, my book landed on his desk. And at the same time that the book landed on his desk, unbeknownst to him, his vice president in Colorado was emailing me saying, we've got your book here and we may be interested in turning it into a TV special and a DVD. So to make a long story short, Jerry, I'm the executive producer of this TV show. It premiered on PAX, which is iNetwork, as I say, at the beginning of June this year, and it's been shown on several TV stations over there. It's getting fantastic reviews from everybody, and it's now out on DVD. And there's two. The secular show is called Apocalypse and the End Times, and that's going to be in the shops or in the stores in October 9th. And then they also made a Christian version called End Times, How Close Are We? And that's going to be in the shops next week, I believe, in Christian bookstores. And it's had a fantastic response. So I've had emails from people saying it's great. And the show is an hour long. It's very slick. It's all about, you know, when you get into the prophecies about the end times and the signs, it's marrying signs with ancient prophecies. And in the secular version, they talk a little bit about Nostradamus and the Mayan calendar and the Hopi Indians and Father Malachy O'Morgan, who named all the popes, apparently, and he was a 15th century Irish priest, I think, who liked a drop of Irish whiskey. And then they tie in all the biblical prophecies with it too. And they tie in that with science and with how science has been able to measure things that are happening in the world at this time. And it's very slick, very professional, very well done, great hosts, a lot of animation, a lot of slick footage of stuff that's going on.
Yeah, who hosted, Patrick?
A man called David Flynn, or Michael Flynn, rather.
Okay.
Michael Flynn, I think, is his name. He hosted the secular version, and a fellow called Dr. Randall Price, he hosts the
religious version, right?
Which is slightly different. And I'll tell you what, it ties in very well, Jerry. I don't know if you've seen Al Gore's new movie, An Inconvenient Truth.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that started in Dublin here last week, and it was on the national news, and they reviewed it on the national TV, and there was some Green Party politicians on saying everybody has to see that. So we went to see that last week, and it's very, very convincing and quite frightening, and a lot of people are coming out saying, my God, we're doomed. Well, our movie, our DVD actually backs that up in a way. It's sort of showing, because a lot of the prophecies of the end times, when they asked the Messiah what would be the signs of the end, he said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, there'll be increase in famines and earthquakes and diseases and weird weather. In fact, he said, nations in perplexity and anxiety at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And we've seen a lot of that, especially in your country, in New Orleans last year, and of course with the big tsunami in Indonesia and Asia. So, but I think the subtle difference is between Al Gore and what we're doing is we're giving a message of hope. We're saying, like I always say in my interviews, and I'm sure I probably said it to you last year, the bad news is the Titanic is going down. The good news is you don't have to get on it. There's an escape route, there's an alternative, there's a way out. So our DVD actually dovetails very, very well with An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore, except we're given the last few bits of the jigsaw puzzle to show what's really going on, I believe.
Maybe you can flesh it out for our listeners a little bit about some of the things that you have in your DVD and your documentary.
They start off a little with talking about Nostradamus and some of the things he said, and the Mayan calendar, which according to experts say that something cataclysmic is going to happen in the Earth in 2012. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. Then they talk about the hieroglyphs down in southern United States that were put there by the Hopi Indians and what they believed would happen in the end times, and they've got a Hopi Indian elder on there talking about this. And again, Father Malachy O'Morgan, and according to him, he apparently named all the popes. There's only sort of one left to go, or maybe this is the second last guy.
Yeah, you and I talked about that in great detail on our interview last year about the Pope and how many more we have to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't be a big expert on that, Jerry, you know, and for me now, as a biblical student of some 30 years, if something isn't very in plain black and white and between Genesis and the book of Revelation, for me, I take things with a very, very large grain of salt. But they all seem to be saying the same thing. They're all sort of saying that things are going to get bad in the end, and that the signs of the end are going to be wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, diseases, immorality, lawlessness, the wind and the sea raging, and nations in perplexity and anxiety at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And those things are all happening. But of course, the main sign has to do with the fact that the Jews are back in Israel. That was the main big sign. We were told that when the generation that would see the return of the Jews to Israel would be the generation that was going to see the return of the Messiah and the beginning of the apocalypse. Because I believe as a Christian that, you know, Christians are going to be taken out before the guacamole hits the fan, as you guys would say. Or you might say something else.
well, I think the way you phrased it was fine, Patrick. you know.
Family radio, and I know by your website that you've got a great face for radio, Jerry.
Thank you. And I always take a compliment when I can. So what do you think of documentary filming now? You've been involved with it?
Yeah, I've been involved. I had a great experience. I mean, since I spoke to you last year, I've had a roller coaster ride, as I said, with the publisher buying my book. I've been to the States 5 times in just over a year. I went over to Loveland, which is about 50 miles north of Denver, Colorado.
Right, know where it is.
Yes, and a lovely...
In fact, the editor for our show is in Boulder, Colorado, and that's where your show will be produced.
Beautiful place, and I was over there for the filming of that, because I appear, I'm the executive producer. It's partly based on both my books, The Nephilim and Apocalypse Soon, which was my first book, which is going to be published in the States, too, in January or February, by Anomalous Publishing, who's Tom Horn of RaidersNewsUpdate.com. He's going to publish that book for me. So I was out there for the filming of that in January, and that was very daunting, I'll tell you. I've no problem going on radio and talking to folks like you, and, you know, being Irish and having kissed the Blarney Stone and all that, I've no problem, yapping away on the telephone.
Yeah, in other words, I had heard that you were the guy that gave the Blarney Stone the hickey, but.
Well, as I say to folks, I didn't kiss the Blarney Stone. I had an affair with it. When they put me in front of a camera, it was totally different, Jerry. I mean, I'm so used to doing these interviews now, and I can rattle off verbatim. I can almost do it in my sleep when I'm speaking about the Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse and the Great Pyramid of Giza and all this stuff. But, you know, you switch a camera on and then you're talking, and all of a sudden you're splurting and stammering and stuttering. It was amazing, but actually, I thought it was terrible, but the folks that did it said, no, it was great. And when it actually came out, I appear in the main documentary, which is an hour long, but there's another 60 minutes of bonus section, extra bonus stuff in the DVD. A lot of extra stuff there, and I've got a whole half an hour to myself doing my thing, talking about the Nephilim, the fallen angels of Genesis 6, and how that fits in with Greek and Roman mythology and Egyptian mythology, and who built the pyramids, in my opinion, and all that stuff. And it actually, it's fantastic. I've had emails from people saying it's absolutely brilliant, it's awesome, it's this, it's that, and the other. And it's great for people who don't like to read but like to watch a show. It's very, very good. And as I say, there's a lot of hope in it. It's not all doom and gloom, you know. It's not all bad news. But that was a hell of an experience in Denver, Colorado, doing that with Chuck Sellier and his great team of people, lovely people up there. And then I was back in Manhattan a few weeks later to meet my new publisher. And then in June, we went out to Los Angeles, and we were there for the premiere of the Grizzly Adams TV show on PAX, and also a theological seminary over there, university. They were so impressed with the research in my book, The Nephilim, that they gave me an honorary doctorate in Christian literature.
Uh-huh, so I'm going to have to call you a doctor, Patrick Heron.
Yeah, you'll have to do that, Jerry, and if you have any old aches or pains, or you want to give me a ring, you know, I'll do a good deal for you.
Oh, me. Have we changed our mind about anything in the last year, or has the last year's events reinforced
It's been reinforced. I mean, things are getting worse. I was looking at a program in Iraq the other day, and you know that they reckon there's 1,000 people a week dying in Iraq now. You know, they won't tell you that in the news and stuff, but the worst estimates are that it's 1,000 a week. I don't know if you saw in the news about 2 days ago, they found 9 policemen with, you know, beheaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not very long ago they found 65 in one day beheaded.
Unbelievable. And then they say there's police, you know, people stopping people dressed as policemen and taking them out and shooting them. But the point is, they are the policemen. So it's a bloody civil war. It's just a total mess out there, you know. And
well, we can agree on that for sure.
Oh, it's a terrible mess. It's ferocious. But I mean, you know, you've lots of other things all over the place. Darfur at the moment, in Somalia. That's looking like it's going to be another Rwanda if the UN don't step in and do something about it. But, you know, don't hold your breath on that. And it's just more of the same, you know. Even the weather, you know, as I say, it's incredible. We've had the best summer on record here. Just incredible summer. But yet it rained for the whole of May, which is totally unusual. And our weather has just been getting milder and wetter. Or, you know, you can sort of walk around in December in your short sleeves.
Well, that's unusual for Ireland.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, you used the ice.
Yes.
You know, we get snow occasionally, but we used to make slides, you know, pour water on the paths and skid up and down on them. But you just don't get any cold weather anymore. It just seems to be getting wetter and milder and warmer.
Patrick Heron is our guest, and we'll be back with Patrick in a moment. I want to remind you that he will be at the UFO Congress this week. He'll be speaking there in Laughlin at the Aquarius Casino Resort. Patrick Heron, interesting fellow. We'll be back. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell. Direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Congress. On JerryPippin.com.
It looks like it's about 8 or 10 miles
west. Patrick, what do you make of 2012? Do you want to go out on a limb here and say things are going to be happening, or
no? Because I tell you what. Biblically, anybody who's a student of the Bible, they'll know that, you know, I said one time, no man knows the hour or the day. Nobody knows. And anybody who's tried to set a date, Jerry, they all always end up with egg on their face. I mean, there was guys, you know, back in the 17 and 1800s over there in Colorado, and he said this guy had them all wound up that it was going to happen on sort of, you know, the 7th of August.
Well, we just had a date the other day somebody gave me, and it went by with anything happening.
Yeah, no, you can't set a date on it. All I know is it's clear. When people say to me, when is this going to happen, I always say, I don't know whether it's this year, 5 years, or 25 years. But I believe it's close. And things happen very, very fast in the world, Jerry, you know? I mean, when you think of the Berlin Wall, it just came down overnight. Nobody was expecting it. All of a sudden, it wasn't there the next day. It just vanished. Then everything was going along swimmingly, and bang, the Twin Towers come down. You know, so things happened very, very fast. I woke up last week, I got into my Jeep, I was driving into Dublin to go to work, and I switched on the news, and it says there's been a military coup in Bangkok. Just like that. Apparently they're very good at military coups over there. They've had something like 23 already, you know. So things happen very, very fast. And I think when things happen this time, it's going to be fast. But, you know, we have the wars, the famines, the earthquakes, the diseases, the weird weather. It's all just happening more and more. And I think, as I say, Al Gore's very, very good documentary bears that out to a large degree. But as I say, our DVD gives us a bit of hope, and it just doesn't leave it all hanging in midair. And it's going to show folks exactly what's going on. And not only, I don't know the way it is over there, Jerry, I'm sure it's similar here, but, you know, secular people, just ordinary non-Christian people in this country and elsewhere, they're all... I mean, I go out, I go into pubs, I like a few pints of Guinness at the weekend. That's that black porter, you know, that we drink over here. It's beautiful. And I talk to ordinary non-Christian people, and people are perplexed. People are anxious. They can sniff something in the wind. You know, the straws are in the wind, and ordinary people are saying, look, this can't keep going on the way it's going on like this. What's happening? What's going on in the world? And we can't just keep having production and growth and economic growth and using up all the resources. Something's got to give sooner or later. So, as I say, the bad news is the Titanic's gone down, but the good news is you don't have to get on it.
Yeah, now Patrick, when we did our show before, we talked about in great detail some of the things in your book, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't cover some of these subjects again for listeners who are not familiar with what we're doing. Now, tell us a little bit about the Giza Pyramid. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, well, the Great Giza Pyramid. Now, let me just give you an outline of a few facts and figures about the Pyramid of Giza, so folks are... they won't be familiar with these facts and figures, but originally the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt was finished in a polished white limestone. And some legends say that it's pyramidion, the tip of it was finished in gold. So it would have been white, gleaming, with this polished limestone, way back some 5,500 years ago in the dim, distant past. And you could see it from as far away as the curvature of the earth permitted. And you couldn't climb it, you couldn't surmount it, because you just slide down on it.
Slick.
Right?
It was slick, smooth.
Absolutely. Plus, you couldn't get a razor blade between the stones. Now, if it was a skyscraper, it would be 42 stories high. The length of the base of the Great Pyramid is 365.2422 cubits, which happens to be the exact length of a solar year, including the extra fraction for the leap year. The slope on the side of the Great Pyramid raises at 10 to 9. That is, for every 10 feet you go up the side, you raise an altitude by 9 feet. And if you take the height of the Great Pyramid and multiply it by 10 to the power of 9, you get 91,840,000, the exact distance from the Earth to the Sun in miles. The Great Pyramid is situated in the exact dead center of the Earth, halfway between the northern tip of Norway, the southern cape of South Africa, the east coast the west coast of Mexico, and the east coast of China. And it intersects the 30th parallel, both longitude and latitude. And listen to this. The solution to the mathematical problem of how to square a circle is incorporated within the geometry of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Yet what we're asked to believe by the experts is that primitive man or ancient Egyptians built this incredible monument, which we could not build today with all our money and all our technology. We engineers and architects freely admit we could not build it, but somehow primitive man built it years ago, and yet somehow these guys, these same builders, hadn't yet figured out how to invent the wheel. Now, that's a bit like saying if you give a screwdriver to a chimpanzee, he's going to make a plasma television set for you. You know, there's something in common. us about it. So what does it mean? And here's something I didn't tell you the last time, Jerry, but there's a very enigmatic prophecy in the book of Isaiah that says, and it says this, it's in Isaiah 19:19, for any of you biblical Christians out there who want to check it out. Isaiah 19:19, it says, in that day, and when the expression in that day appears, it always means in the last days or the end days or close to the apocalypse. And it says, in that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst or in the middle of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in that day. So this prophecy is saying that in the end days that there would be a pillar and an altar both in the middle of the land of Egypt and at the border at the same time. Now, how can something be in the middle and at the border at the same time? In order to understand that, you've got to understand a little bit about the geography of ancient Egypt. And just where the Nile breaks up into the delta and goes into the sea, there was a line across the bottom of that delta there which separated Upper Egypt from Lower Egypt in days past. So this line that goes through there is the border between Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. And the one thing, which is an altar and a pillar in the middle of this border, is the Great Pyramid of Giza. So this prophecy is saying that in the end times, that this Great Pyramid of Giza would be a witness and a sign unto the Lord of hosts, or unto God in those days. So what is the Great Pyramid a sign of, and what is it a witness to? Now, in order to unriddle this conundrum, what we've got to do is go, first of all, to John chapter 12, or John chapter 14, rather, where the Messiah made a statement which would be very, very familiar to most people, both Christian and non-Christian. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I will go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the Messiah said he was going to this house of many mansions to prepare a place for us. Later on then in the book of Hebrews, it says Abraham looked for a city in heaven whose builder and maker was God. Then in the book of Corinthians, Paul says we have an eternal house in the heavens whose architect was God, and it was not made by human hands. In several other places in the book of Hebrews, it talks about this city in heaven, this literal city, quote, in a place called heaven, quote, end of quote, and it's called Mount Zion. Then at the very end of the book of Revelation, when all this our time here is finished, when the apocalypse is finished, and it talks about a new heaven and a new earth in the future, and it describes this city coming down out of heaven from God, and it's called the New Jerusalem, and it descends onto the new earth, and it describes this future city in great detail. It tells us all the different stones it's made out of. It tells us the thickness of the walls. It says it's got 12 gates made out of 12 single pearls. It says the river of life flows out from the midst of it, etc., etc. And at the end of this detailed description, we're given the dimensions of this future city, and we're told its length and its breadth and its height are the same. Now, that is a pyramid in shape. So what I'm saying, and what my book is saying, and this is the first book ever in the history of the world to come up with this theory, and yours truly is the first person to come up with it, is that this future pyramid city called the New Jerusalem is an imitation, as it were, of the Great Pyramid of Giza, or rather the other way around. The Great Pyramid of Giza is an imitation of this future pyramid city. If you like, the Great Pyramid in Egypt is pointing into the forward, into the future, at this future pyramid city, and the New Jerusalem, this future pyramid city, is pointing back at the Great Pyramid of Giza. So when the Messiah said, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you, this is where he went to. You know what I mean? He didn't vanish into thin air, you know, or he didn't run off and marry Mary Magdalene and have a whole bunch of rugrats, you know, and open up a little carpentry shop. No, it says he went out to this place called heaven, quote, end of quote, which I believe is in another dimension outside our solar system, somewhere else, billions of light years away possibly. And this place is a literal, physical, quote, end of quote, place. And in it there, it says he's sitting on the right hand of his Father. He said he's surrounded by these 24 elders and 24 thrones. We don't know who those guys are. And an innumerable amount of these other spirit men, we call them angels. And the Nephilim, in my book, which is the fallen angels, what I believe is when they fell to the earth, way, way back in the dim, distant, primeval past, they fell to earth and they built this incredible pyramid in Egypt, which are white, gleaming limestone, and the Gold Pyramidion with all the incredible mathematics that is involved in it and the astronomical alignments in the dead center of the world, etc., etc. And they built this as an earthly representation of the celestial city they had come from. So when this peculiar prophecy in Isaiah 19:19 says that in the last days that there would be an altar in the pillar in the midst or in the middle of the land of Egypt and at the border at the same time, and it would be a sign to something and a witness to something in the last days. What I'm saying the Great Pyramid is, Jerry, is a sign to and a witness of this coming future pyramid city, which is prophesied about in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation.
Patrick, you've explained that pretty well, and I do appreciate that. And we went into that a little bit before. The city you're talking about, the New Jerusalem, is that the 144,000? I mean, is that how many people it'll hold?
No. I reckon there's millions and millions and millions of places. It talks about 144 Jews that are going to become converted in the apocalypse times, but it has nothing to do with this future pyramid.
Okay.
In fact, given the dimensions of it, it's approximately 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high.
So then it would hold a lot of people.
A whole lot of people. When you think of all the Christians all the way down through the ages and all the other people, so it's a big place, you know, and that is the significance of the pyramid.
Now, once they get in there, what happens?
Well, we're only going there for a short hiatus, for the 7 years or so of the time that the apocalypse is going to take place. And then, in the future, it talks, as I said, about a new heaven and a new earth, and this thing is going to descend down. And it says God is going to be with his people. He will be their God. They will be his people. There will be no more deaths, no more crying, no more sorrow. He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. And that's when the fun starts, Jerry, basically. And that's what my book is all about. If people haven't heard of it, we didn't talk about the Nephilim, who are the fallen ones, the fallen angels who came to earth. Way back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, it talks about them first. And they were knocking around for, up to 1,000 years back then. Came to earth, had sex with ordinary women, and produced these very violent offspring who were giants. And of course, this is where we get all our Greek and Egyptian mythology from, where it talks about the gods came down from heaven. They lived in Mount Olympus and Delphi. Zeus came down, took Alcmene into wife. She almost died giving birth to Hercules. That's where all this stuff comes from. So what I do is I tie in the Nephilim with the Great Pyramid of Giza, and then I connect this Great Pyramid with this future pyramid city to come. And then that prophecy in Isaiah 19:19 makes total sense, that the Great Pyramid is an imitation, an earthly imitation of the future city, the New Jerusalem, which is to come, which is also a pyramid in shape. That's why it's called Mount Zion. I mean, when you think Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount St. Helens, you know, you're not thinking about a cube. A lot of biblical scholars think it's a cube, but a 1,500-mile cube would be pretty lousy design, in my opinion.
We'll be back with more Patrick Heron, but right now let's listen to a little bit of the audio, the soundtrack of his DVD. Don't go away.
The 21st century comes weighed down with the portents of disaster predicted over thousands of years as warnings of something called the end time. Prophecies from around the world have warned of war, earthquakes, famine, and death by disease. Natural disasters from deep within the earth and calamities from outer space are said to be signs of the end times. Recent events in America, the Middle East, and throughout the world have brought enormous renewed interest in these warnings of the final days. And most surprising of all, even science has taken a seat at the prophetic table. Astronomers, volcanologists, geologists, and meteorologists, social scientists, and military experts are all predicting the possibility of a cataclysmic end to life on Earth as we know it. Mathematicians and other experts are also scanning the future through the modern lens of the computer. And it isn't just the Bible that has echoed these warnings down through the ages. The great Mayan civilization developed one of the most accurate calendars ever devised. It ends abruptly at the year 2012. Malachi O'Morgan, a 12th century Catholic prelate, and Nostradamus, a medieval physician and astrologer, both wrote of the final pope. If they are correct, there will only be one more. Could it be ours is the generation of the end times warnings?